Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started.
Hello, friends, and hello to the listeners of the Share podcast and listeners of She Did It Her Way. I'm Amanda Bolin, and I'm sitting down with Amber Williams. I was trying to figure out how to do the intro because this is going on both of our podcasts. And so I just kind of like took over there. Hopefully that was okay.
No, that is totally fine. I'm Amber Williams. Very happy to be sitting down with Amanda Bolin.
Yes, we are so excited. This it's not really an interview. It's a candid conversation is the way that we branded it and labeled it. And it's about race and business and how women in business can stand up and speak out. And our sole intention of this conversation is to unpack things that have happened in most recent events and have a candid conversation and hopefully inspire and educate and leave you more educated and more inspired to take action in the way that aligns with you to make change in your circle of influence and in the world that you impact day to day. Amber, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely the goal. Some of the key things that I believe we both want to answer are many of the questions that have been coming up within both of our communities. Things like, how can women business leaders use their platforms to take a stand against social injustice? And why, as a business owner, it's even necessary? Another thing we want to chat through is, what is the best way to talk about anti-racism without sounding racist or ignorant or sounding like you don't have a clue what you're saying? Yeah. And then the final thing that we want to chat through is, what does doing the work really look like? One of the things that I firmly believe is that it takes a lot more than words to make a difference. It takes action. And you are my take action business friend. Okay. And so I'm really looking forward to unpacking all of these and offering some support and help and enlightenment to both of our listeners in this season.
That was perfect. And I mean, just to start off and be candid, which you guys know, if you're listeners of the podcast of She Did It Her Way, there's only one way I know how to be, and that's pretty candid. And I like to share everything, the good, the bad, the ugly behind building a business and all of that. And so just to be like totally upfront and honest, I mean, even, you know, Amber and I have known each other, I think 2-3 years, maybe 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And even still a little bit before getting on the Zoom call to record this, I found my stomach getting a little nervous of like, you know, that initial fear of, okay, are we going to be able to articulate in this conversation what our intentions are and what people want? Or, you know, there's a fear of judgment or whatever. And there's so many other things too that in the past few weeks as a white woman that I've learned and have come to be aware of, that it even makes me uncomfortable to think that I thought a certain way 3 weeks ago and now it's changed, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Yeah. Whew, take a little breath. Yeah. This is what this is for. It's not, you know, I mean, this is the whole purpose of the conversation.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's an uncomfortable conversation for anyone. We could have known each other for 20 years and this still be uncomfortable. No one wants to talk about this. You know, no one wants to talk about injustice. No one wants to talk about our differences or, you know, no one ever really wants to address any elephants in the room. But people who are in positions of leadership are taking that initiative to do it because it has to be done in order for change to happen. And so I, you know, was a little nervous before this call too, just because we've never talked about this in great detail. And truth be told, I have never really talked about this with any of my white friends in great detail. And so we're just going to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The way we grow our comfort zones. Yes. And I know. And the one thing I do want to say too, because Amber and I did ask our Instagram audiences, I asked the question in my Facebook group. And one of the key things that I'll say to anyone who's tuning in and is Black, and I said it in my Facebook group, is I will never know or understand. And let me back up. I do believe there's a difference between hearing and listening, listening and knowing, knowing and understanding. Mm-hmm. And for me, because I am white, I can listen and I can hear, but I don't know and I don't understand. And it, that's part of the true recognizing that I don't know, and I can't say I fully understand the pain that Black people have endured injustice and experienced in our country. And it's even making me emotional to think about it, because it's just like, man, we're all human and that. So I say that, just put that out there, is like, there's been a lot of hurt and a lot of pain exposed that has been rooting under a lot of people and so many Americans in this country for so long, that I know there's so many emotions coming out immediately after what happened to George Floyd.
Just to clarify, I mean, we know that it is obviously not the murder, you know, of George Floyd and other people. That it is this intersection that we're all in right now, where we're almost being forced to have these conversations, mm-hmm. especially as business owners. We're at a place in our society where silence is not an option. It's funny because I posted something, I believe it was last week, and it said that there comes a point where silence is betrayal. Mm. And so now is the time for people to be speaking up, to be standing out, to be taking a stand, and to be getting comfortable being uncomfortable around people who are not like them.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to have colleagues in my life who are willing to do that, you know, who want to sit down and broaden their perspective. And the whole reason our conversation got started is because on a Sunday night, you sent me a very emotional Voxer message. And it was just like, I'm reaching out. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I want to know, what can I do? Because yeah. I don't know, you know, and
yeah.
And when I listened to the message, I could hear your voice shaking. I could hear the sincerity in your tone. And as soon as I heard that, Amanda, I was like, she's really my friend. Like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, she's not just a colleague. She's not just somebody that, you know, we see each other at the summit, or we yeah. talk, or we interview each other's podcasts. Like, Amanda is actually one of my friends, because she doesn't even have the words right now, and neither do I, but she's taken the initiative to start a conversation, knowing that it's not going to be smooth. And that just meant so much to me. I just wanted you to know that. And so I feel like since that message, and I believe my first response was,
you're like, I don't got the words right now.
Yeah. My first response was, I am not okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because the same as you, I don't know any other way to be but real and candid. And it has taken 2 weeks for me to even be able to articulate how I feel and be able to offer some value to my audience, my community, and my family right now. So that's kind of how we got started having this conversation. I feel like every day we're boxering now with something that has to do with this. And I'm happy that we're sitting down, because I believe that some of the insights that you and I have gained from each other over the past 2 weeks can truly help other women leaders right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so true. Cause I mean, awareness really truly is like the first step to change. Right. And I know for me, one of the big things is that, and humbly and embarrassingly, white privilege, I knew it, but I didn't fully understand it. And then it wasn't until a couple of weeks ago that it's not saying that you didn't have a challenging upbringing, right? Like sometimes when we're kids and our immediate reaction is to get defensive, and it's no. It's not saying that someone didn't have a challenging upbringing or childhood, which for so long, if you guys have been tuning into She Did It Her Way, I talk about my upbringing and how I used to wear. So the fact that there were a lot of challenges, I would wear it as a badge, which then turned into like an ego thing. So anyway, there's plenty of episodes that you can listen to that. And it's really understanding there has been an advantage because of the color of my skin. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, you know, talking about systemic challenges and the way the system has been set up. It's, and Amber and I are going to talk about some of the things that everybody shows up and, you know, supports change in different ways and kind of unpacking that. So why don't we kick off then to Amber? I know one of the topics that you introduced at the beginning was how can women business leaders use their platforms to take a stand against social injustice? And why is it even necessary? Why is it important? Even if it's whether I always say whether you move an inch or a mile, the goal is to always be moving forwards. As human beings of change, we can't discount and think, well, if I'm only going to do this little bit, what's the point? Because it all matters. It's like the butterfly effect. It all matters. Mm-hmm. Everything you do in your business, every 20 minutes you spend working on your business every day, it matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I keep saying is that as a CEO, as a influencer, as somebody who has a community that you want to follow you, right? Just being in that position means you also signed up for the role mm-hmm. of leader. And in times of crisis, in times of turmoil, people look to their leaders, whether those leaders are government leaders, whether those leaders are church leaders, family leaders, or business thought leaders, they look to those people to help make sense of what's going on mm-hmm. and give them inspiration on what to do and what to think, right? I always tell people that if you're in a position of leadership, your role is to either shift thinking or shift behavior. Mm. All people are in business to do one of those two things. Mm-hmm. And when we have these global pandemics that happen, you have to put the actual selling of your products or services to the side and really rise up and lead and give people an idea of what they need to shift also in this moment. And because you are the leader, you have to make the first move. You have to make the first statement, right? You set the tone. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the past couple of weeks, I feel like now most business leaders are coming out and saying something, right? Because mm-hmm. they see that everybody else is doing it, right? So it's okay. But I really give a lot of kudos to those early leaders who came out and made a stand in a very bold way to make it okay for everybody else. But mm-hmm. the reason why standing up and speaking out against racial injustice, against any highly polarized matter like this is important is because there are people in your community who are incredibly affected by it. Mm-hmm. Even if you are not affected to the degree that they are, these people who have entrusted you to lead them in some way are very affected. When it comes to the recent murders of Black people in this country, the Black people in your community are enraged. They are angered. They are having feelings of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. They're sad. They are crippled. They're frozen. And if you're a business leader and you choose to ignore that, when they're trusting you to shift their behavior, their thinking, well, I just believe that you have failed them. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely. And I think sometimes people might think, okay, I only have X amount of followers. Who am I leading a voice? And I just encourage you that even, okay, so maybe if it's not even on Instagram, but it's still happening, right? You're still speaking, feeling compelled and feeling confident or in feeling it being in a position where you can still speak up in at a dinner table or over a coffee chat, speak your truth about how you truly feel and not feel like it needs to be stunted, and being able to use your voice for influence over moving us forward for mm-hmm. sure.
And yeah. I think that's the difference between someone who's in a quote unquote important role and someone who is a leader. There are a lot of people who call themselves leaders who, when it really comes time to lead and it's challenging, and it's not the popular thing to do, they back out. And in my opinion, that's not a leader. And so you're right. It can be uncomfortable. It can be something that you don't want to stand out and speak about. But one of the first steps I believe people have to take so that when they do speak up, they feel comfortable with it and they feel confident with it and they don't have an issue an apology is to first take some time to think. Right? I believe there's just been so much pressure especially on the business community, to hurry up and say something, right? Hurry up and get your statement out there. You know, your subject line needs to be Black Lives Matter. Like, hurry up and stand up and speak out against injustice. But I would rather people take the time to listen and first clarify their stance in their head. Figure out, like, what is your interpretation of what's happening? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it? What does this mean to you as a person first? What does it mean to you as a business leader? What do you believe this means to your community? And what do you feel like you can do about it? And then what are you pledging to do about it? Like, you have to clarify all that in your head before you write something and post it for everybody to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you're so good at that. And sometimes I always need to remind myself, not necessarily in this case, but like, I know other times, and my husband certainly has reminded me that sometimes I need to like take a breather and, you know, gather thoughts, but I'm like, no, there's not enough time. I need to talk right now. I need to tell you how I feel and all of that. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is. And it's a good reminder that everybody has different meanings for different words. I'm just going to use the word crisis in this moment, but it's just another reminder that in times where there's uncertainty or what have you, and things happen, it really calls you as a leader, whether you're a business owner or not, to figure out where you stand, what your voice is, and how you want to move forward, and what steps you want to take as you continue moving forward, and like where you stand and maybe where you don't stand for whatever issue that might be. Absolutely.
And everyone has everyone's stance is not the same. And that's okay. Everyone's action steps and what they pledge to do are not the same.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I know that I'm not looking to every business leader to hire a diversity and inclusion officer, right? That's not the solution for every kind of business. It's also not practical for every kind of business. When I think about what my expectation is of business leaders, particularly white business leaders, it's simple. It is to listen and to broaden your perspective and then act accordingly with this new perspective. And a lot of people are calling on business leaders to do what they want them to do and to quote unquote build empathy. But I'll be honest with you, I feel like when it comes to race relations, I wonder if empathy is too tall of an order to ask, right? Empathy, the difference between empathy and sympathy is that if I empathize with you, that means I can walk in your shoes.
Right.
I can imagine what you're going through. And that's not possible, right? When it comes to race or racism. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can intentionally work to surround yourself with people who do not look like you, who do not think like you, so that your perspective is broadened. And when your perspective is broadened, you naturally act differently. You naturally have more diversity in your marketing department. You naturally don't make statements that require an apology 24 hours later because people of different perspectives saw it before it went out.
Yeah.
So that's my expectation.
Yeah. And I know something you had said too, I think, and maybe this is more of a holistic approach too, is that sometimes going back, I know things were circulating on Instagram of, oh, you're not doing enough, or you need to be doing it this way or that way. And you had mentioned that, right? Like everybody, you know, takes action in their own way. And it's kind of also giving the benefit of the doubt to others that they're doing something and trusting that they're doing something in their own way versus like expecting them to do it the way that we want them to. And there was something else that you had said about the whole awareness and education and mindset, because it really is like getting us to think differently. And I think the climate not getting, and you know, I'll speak for myself in this. I am in no way, I think, equipped to speak on politics. I have,
me neither.
I remember themes and high level stuff, but you get into details and I'm like, oh my gosh. But that to say, I think we're shifting that consciousness where we're starting to be curious about things that maybe we didn't see, maybe not curious is the right word, but it's more of looking, you know, like something we used to take at face value and trust that it was truth. We're now, wait a second, how this might actually be different than what I was being influenced or being told for so long. And I think there is this shift of waking up, if you will, and becoming higher level, like just raising that awareness in it. So it's a very exciting, but I say that on the other hand, there's obviously a lot of trauma and a lot of emotional hurt, right? So we're unpacking that too. But yeah, anything else you want to add to the, you know, business leaders, how to use their platforms to take a stand against social injustice? Anything else you want to add to that?
Sure. I mean, I think that courage is a huge part of this, right? Just the courage to be able to say something because you know it's the right thing. And because, not even because you know it's the right thing, but because it aligns with who you are and the values that you built your business on, that requires a lot of courage, right? That's not something that goes unnoticed, at least by me. And it also requires an acceptance of the fact that you're going to lose some people. You're going to lose some followers. You're going to lose some customers. As much as someone loves what you're saying, somebody else is going to hate it. And we have to be okay with that as leaders. We have to have the courage to stand up for what is right, even when it's unpopular, even when it's not what the majority of people are doing, or even if we're the first ones that are saying something, right? When I think about some of the greatest leaders just in time, right? Some of the greatest business leaders and just social leaders of our time, they had a lot of enemies. They had a lot of people who doubted them. If you think about Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, he had assassination assaults, threats on his life from the time he started speaking up. When you think about even the Apple story and Steve Jobs and how many people said he was crazy.
Yeah.
And how,
and if you're already a business owner, you probably get that a lot too. People think you're crazy.
You're already, already think you're crazy. Yeah. So why not keep it going?
Right? Yeah. Let's keep it going. Let's go against the majority of them. Yeah. Just keep it going.
Right.
Yes.
When you look at Oprah Winfrey, who was told in the very early days of her journalism career that this was not the career for her. Like when you just take a look at all the greatest leaders of our time and you think about the number one thing that they did that others didn't do, they had the courage to stand up and speak out about something that they believed in before it was popular.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what strong woman business leaders are called to do in this moment, to disregard what is popular, to disregard public opinion, and truly align their words and their actions with the values that they have promoted in their business.
Yeah.
I read all these anti-racism statements and all of these emails and all of these posts and these new initiatives that so many business owners are launching. And I'm waiting for the action. I don't know about you. The posts look great. I'm sure there's a ton of copywriters making a lot of money right now.
Well, you and I were voxing about that. I'm like, Amber, what? Yeah, we totally voxed about that because I'm me being all action. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to like tell people this and I say it, but I feel like people are going to be more interested about what are the actions I'm taking more so. And then I kind of felt a little conflicted a little bit. Okay, am I making this post just to tout the fact that everybody now, like, is the public stage my accountability partner? And I'm stating this, my words, yes, they matter. But I know for me, I'm like, what really matters is the action that I'm taking, making sure that we're bringing on more diverse speakers more so than we've had in the past, bringing on more, diversifying our small but mighty team as we grow. That to me, I'm like, I would rather do it and then share that. But I mean, all that to say, even just us having this conversation and people sharing what it is that they're going to do is still impactful because other people can be inspired by it too. No, we're voxering about that back and forth. And it was, it's just good to have an open conversation.
And you know, Amanda, that is something that people want a window into, you know, like in the beginning, I believe that everyone wanted leaders and businesses to say something because we want to know where you stand. You know, you on this side of the tape or this side of the tape? Are you going left or right? You know, because we need to know, do we need to stop spending our money or like Ben and Jerry's buy a whole bucket of ice cream, right?
Yeah.
But to document that process of everything that you're doing, like actually doing the anti-racism work, wow, I mean, that is more powerful than, mm-hmm. you know, the Blackout Tuesday posts or the hashtag Black Lives Matter. That is incredibly powerful, but I believe that you do need both, right?
Yes.
You need acknowledgement to your community of where you stand. Mm-hmm. You need a format or an open tone to your community where people can mm-hmm. talk back to you and you can do that listening to inform your action. And then you do need that action. And then as you're taking action, it's like this cycle. Then you need to acknowledge and talk again and listen again and then take more action.
Yeah,
it's like this continuous cycle. But I believe that
moves forward.
It moves you forward,
yeah.
right? And we know that, right? As mm-hmm. we're working to build businesses, what do? We think first, mm-hmm. we acknowledge, we communicate, we take action, and then we revise and then do it over and over and over again.
Yes.
Until we get to the top, right?
Yeah. And then you keep going because there is no top. It just keeps going. Right. It's like an asymptote.
Exactly.
You get to the line. You just keep going. You never touch the line.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I've gotten, just a lot of questions that people are asking about, okay, well, I'm doing this, but I don't want to just post it and sound like I'm just being trendy or I'm just saying what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
But I believe that transparency is really important. And the way that you describe why you're doing it, mm-hmm. that's what can set you apart. That's what gives it that humility and makes it not feel like groupthink.
Oh yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. And it's all about like the momentum and like, where do we go from here and keeping the conversation going? And it's not just this one short a period of time, right? Like, what are the things which we're going to talk about? What is, you know, you had said, what does doing the work really look like? But let's, you know, I would love your opinion, feedback, thoughts on what are the best ways to talk about anti-racism and not sound racist, or sharing some of your own experiences that you, just share with us some of those things.
Yeah. The first step for me in talking about anti-racism and what I've tried to just coach a few of my friends and some of my students on is that acknowledgement of areas to grow, right? Mm. When I see people acknowledging that they didn't know something, or it's almost like this shock of ignorance. I'll just be honest. It's like this shock that people are admitting that they're in. And kind of like what you said, like you thought white privilege meant this whole time. And you're realizing that it's something completely different, right? When people first acknowledge this hole and opportunity that they have to grow, that opens up a conversation in a way that makes it feel real and unscripted. Like if I hear, it's kind of just like when you go and apologize to somebody, or when you go to try to have a productive conversation with your spouse, and the first thing you say is, baby, I realized that I was wrong in whatever, right? Snapping up the toothpaste or, you know, dismissing your feelings. I should have blah, 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 right? When that first, it's kind of like conflict resolution.
Yep.
When the first step you take is acknowledging your wrongdoing, or in this case, acknowledging what you didn't know, or acknowledging what you ignored or didn't take the time to understand, wow, that's incredibly powerful. And then after you acknowledge it and you share something that you have learned, and what you've been doing to continue learning and the action steps that you're going to take, that's the formula, in my opinion, for a strong anti-racism statement. It doesn't have to be these two long corporate pages. It doesn't have to feel scripted. It doesn't even have to say we stand with Black Lives Matter. All it has to acknowledge is that you didn't understand something, how you feel about not understanding something, and how you feel about that not understanding it has impacted the world that we're surrounded in now, and what you plan to do about it. Mm-hmm. That's an anti-racism statement. And I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that, but that's what makes it feel real, in my opinion, when you bring it back to yourself.
Yeah. But I think to your point when you were saying, okay, you know, a lot of people might disagree with you on that, I think it really goes back to we all have different meanings and different expectations of how we approach things or the words and the phrases, right? Like, to someone else, anti-racism might mean blank. And to you, it means what you had just shared with us. And I think that is also a perspective and awareness to keep in mind, that we just all have different meanings about how we go about doing things, and we're all human and no one's perfect. And it's just like going back to the first thing you were talking about, having the courage to step out and to get uncomfortable and comfortably move yourself outside your comfort zone, uncomfortably or comfortably move yourself outside your comfort zone. So yeah. And I know a lot of fears and anxiety and common, you know, hesitations about community backlash and those fears that creep up. And I mean, it's almost, it's what you had said earlier. It's, you should be more afraid of staying silent than anything else. And what I, one of the posts that was circulating on Instagram that I loved, and I think I'm probably going to butcher it, but it was very much of, it, there is no neutrality. You're either racist or you're anti-racist, because you're either actively fighting it or you're just not. And if you're not, then it is one way. And that really stood out to me as well, because I would think I love humans and I think I'm pretty open-minded and whatnot. But then having that statement and really recognizing that, I'm like, wow, like there's so much more I could have been doing, but I didn't know at that time. And like you said, acknowledge that, the acknowledge and say like, how do you move forward and how do we move forward and what can we do in our communities to influence and all of that. So what and are I'm some other,
you,
yeah.
I'm Go glad ahead, you mentioned the word human, because this is not a Black issue. This is not a Black and white issue primarily. This is an issue of humanity. When I think about the execution of George Floyd and you watch that video, the first thing we see, before we see a Black man and a white man, before we see a citizen and a police officer, we see a human execute another human slowly with the coldest disposition I have ever seen in my life. Total disregard for human life. And so this, what's happening in our society, this is not a Black people problem. It's not a minority problem. This is a human problem. And until everybody sees it like that and everybody is just as angered and as outraged and as committed to challenging the system we're in to affect change, we're not going to have any change. And that is where I find the pressure is coming from people toward business leaders. It's like, don't you see it the same way I do? Why are you not as outraged or as motivated to do something? Did you not just see this man kill this innocent man? And that's the first way that I view it, Amanda, before I boil down the layers of police officer, citizen, Black and white. We watched a human kill another human.
Yeah.
And any human who has a platform or has an influence should be standing up against that. You have to. And that's the key thing when we think about the tone of an anti-racism statement. It's got to be we. It has to be our. It has to be us. Not you, them, and their movement. Because if you're committed to affecting real change, then you're also committed to the understanding that you are a part of this fabric of humanity that's being assassinated legally in this country. And that's what I look for when I see anti-racism statements and I separate the good from the bad. Who recognizes that they are a part of this and they're just as hurt as much as possible?
It's like a... We could go on a whole spiritual tangible route on that one. Cause we, I mean, depends on what people believe. I'm with you. I mean, we're all in this world as a collective together. We're all a piece of each other, energy shared and what one human does to another human, it's kind of, yeah, it takes you back. So speaking up to the listeners tuning in who are finding themselves wanting to find the right words to express their stance, Black, white, Latino, diversity, whatever, what are some things that we talked about a little bit of, like what they can do in finding the courage and expressing the awareness and the mistakes or anything of that nature, right? Anything that you really advise people not to do in this situation?
That's a great question. Well, number one thing not to do is be silent, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the other most important not thing, as I've mentioned before, is don't say something just because it's trendy or because everyone else is saying it. Blackout Tuesday, in my opinion, was the ultimate groupthink movement. It just really was. And
I loved your response to that. And I will tell you, when I saw your response, I was, oh God, I'm like, Amber, you're really true. That really resonates. And I'm like, did I just do that? Yeah. But I mean, the whole thing we could unpack too. So keep going. I apologize for interrupting you.
No, it's totally fine. I mean, so you can go to my Instagram and see why I wasn't all the way with Blackout Tuesday. But I think what we have to do is we have to think about where we stand, right? Like mm-hmm. we said, and then turn off your Instagram, your Facebook, your email inbox, and write something authentic on paper without seeing what everybody else has written first. Because mm-hmm. if we all turned off our Instagram, would everybody had come to the decision to Blackout Tuesday? Would everybody be doing the hashtag Black Lives Matter with the three fists, you know, mm-hmm. with the different colors? Like, would everybody be having this subject line, Black Lives Matter? Did you see that last week? I mean, it was business after business after business after business that had the same subject line, mostly the really big brands.
Yeah. Well, and I think, so to that point too, I think there was a sense of, and I don't think there's a right or wrong in any of it. There was a sense of helplessness in a way, kind of, okay, I want to help. Like, I feel like I'm helping. And then there was also, well, wait, am I doing this right type of thing? And so I think some people, including myself, felt a little lost because it was, I'm doing this to help. It's a good thing. And then it started taking its own course of action. So it left me a little, I was questioning. I was like, wait, I thought I was doing a good thing. Is this not a good thing? I don't know what I'm doing now. Right. But and to your point, it's before anything, a lot of times, and even, you know, in business, it can be so easy to turn on Instagram and see how someone's doing a launch strategy. And we're like, oh, we should do that versus whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. Let's monitor the input that is coming in to create the constraints so that we can clear up space to really think about how we feel internally and then act from that place where we're aligned and it's coming from us and like what you're saying, not necessarily something that's like trending.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we do or what we should do when we put out any kind of thought leadership, right? Do we not try to make it authentic to who mm-hmm. we are and our unique voice in a way that aligns with our values and aligns with what we're selling and who we're selling it to, right? We always try to be as authentic as possible. And so in times like this, that authenticity, the need for that authenticity, I believe is really magnified. And as we're creating statements and as we're continuing to be transparent and share what we're doing, I think we need to turn off what everybody else is doing and write down what feels real. I remember, you know, when I had a coaching session with you a couple years ago, I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe, you were like, what feels real? What feels fun? What feels like you? Yeah. And granted, this is not fun, but what feels real and what feels like you and what makes sense for your kind of business to do?
Yeah.
And share that. Mm-hmm. I think it just boils down to authenticity. Yeah. And you're going to make mistakes, as we make mistakes with everything. Mm-hmm. Everyone makes mistakes in their communication. You're going to make mistakes, but when you are humble and when that humility is shining through in your message, people will forgive those mistakes if your intentions are authentic.
Yeah, love it. Thank you for sharing that. What, maybe now kind of like transition to the last piece, like what does doing the work really look like?
Wow. Well, you tell me. I mean, you know.
I mean, I shared a little like thing, you know, from my perspective and where I'm at, one of my biggest things is voting, right? So this experience has really awoken the need for, you know, you look at anything of like why we are where we are today. And so much so has where we are today in so many areas, whether it's our education, whether it's police, whether it's healthcare, all that stuff, racial injustice is stemmed from years past in our history. Mm-hmm. And my inspiration and my nugget is to inspire anyone who's listening. There's so many things, but this is just one of them. Like my call to action that I felt would help people move forward, keep the momentum going and create change is really take an invested interest in your local officials in your community, in your county, in your state, not just the Oval Office. The elections are coming up this year, which I always feel like the years of elections are just, they're anything but
normal.
Normal, right? But like, what is normal? And that keeps changing, but they're anything but quiet. Let's just say that. You know, there's obviously Corona and like all this stuff. So anyway, but really take a vested interest in the local officials that are voting things into law, that are shaping law, that are voting policies in, that are saying yes, they're saying no. Because like you said before, we're all human. And if we're all human, everybody's got ego. Everybody's got a heart. Everybody's got a desire. Sometimes the ego leads greater than the heart does, but it's really taking a vested interest of people who are sitting in the seats that vote on policy. Mm. And it's really like also kind of, I know, like taking a step out and trying to get as much perspective and awareness and being as objective as possible about issues and change and things like that to create the change. And I know that for me is like really big, voting beyond the Oval Office. And I know that I can be better. I've voted in the past, but not consistently in terms of things outside of maybe the presidential election for sure. So voting, reading books, watching like documentaries and series and things to become more aware. And I think like, you know, as a business owner myself, and I'd shared before, bringing, elevating and amplifying more voices of diversity and making sure that I am putting in the time and energy to find women of diversity to come on our team, even though, yes, having the excuse that, oh, well, majority of my friends are white, like it just happens that way. That's such a laissez-faire response. And I did have that response, humbly and like admittedly. And the other part, there's a little hesitance to say, okay, do I just reach out to my friend who's Black and say like, hey, I need more diversity on my team. And there was like a little resistance to doing that. And I think that came from not wanting to potentially offend. And it's okay, my ego of not wanting to be wrong was getting in the way of actually moving and creating change on a greater scale, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think like getting out of our own way and educating and just making the tiny steps and being kinder mm-hmm. all around, mm-hmm. regardless of skin, like just being kinder.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those steps are, I mean, that's a perfect combination. And the reality is there's no one avenue to take towards solving this problem. It's going to be a combination. And when I think about business, doing the work for me looks like examining the systems that you have inside of your business and taking a look to see, as you mentioned, if you too may have a systemic problem, because the reason why we're in this situation right now is because our country has a systemic racism problem. Mm. The majority of the people in power all look the same and all think the same. Mm. Many of them have similar upbringings and backgrounds and pedigrees. Mm-hmm. And so a systemic issue can easily arise when you have everybody who thinks and looks one way.
It's like the group thing.
It's group think, right? Yeah. And they are making decisions thinking that they're the only ones who are going to be impacted. And so that's where systemic racism plays out in our society. And if you take a look at your business, if your business, the people in leadership or the people who play key roles in operating or marketing your business, if they all look the same, think the same, have similar backgrounds and similar pedigrees, well, you have a systemic problem too, right? Mm-hmm. And I can identify some of them that do right now, and I'm sure you've seen them. They're the ones that are sending out statements and talking to an audience that they are addressing as an all-white audience when they really have Black people in their audience, and they're having to issue an apology. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that message even getting out? Mm-hmm. Well, my guess is that there's nobody in marketing, there's nobody in communications, there's nobody in social media, there's the virtual assistant, there's nobody of color on that team who raised a red flag about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I truly believe the work really looks like, is intentionally diversifying who works inside your business. Mm-hmm. And if you don't quite have a team yet, intentionally diversifying your circle of business influence. Mm-hmm. So that when the need arises to quote unquote amplify other voices, or when the need arises to have more diverse experts on your podcast, or more diversity in a conference you may be putting on, or a retreat, you're not starting from scratch, right? You already have a diverse circle of influence that you can look to because you have intentionally cultivated those relationships with people who do not look and think like you. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's where growth and change really happens, when we step outside of our comfort zones and broaden our perspectives.
Yeah, 100%. What, and I know we talked about a little bit of where we go from here, and we talked about some of those too. I do want to touch on, you know, a community question. There were a couple of community questions from both of our audiences, one talking about the systemic gap in wealth. And I think that we touched a little bit on that, just, you know, thinking back and looking at history. And I know one of the, we watched on Netflix 13th, the documentary, and that was really eye-opening. And I think watching that and continuing to educate kind of shares with it itself how we've gotten to where we are today, and how we can change that trend and change that. The community question, I think this one was from your community that came from. So if you want to go ahead and read that question aloud.
Sure. Well, actually, before we dive into the questions, I'm curious to know, Amanda, when you watch documentaries like that, or when you read different books that talk about race or racism or the history of race in this country, how does that make you feel, and what does it motivate you to then do?
Yeah. Oof. Well, it makes me feel outraged.
That's a loaded question.
I mean, yeah, my husband and I watched it this past, I think like Sunday night, and how does it make me feel?
I know that's a tough one. Kind of hard to put it in words.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, and it's emotional, because going back to what you say, like what you said earlier too, it's like a human thing. Mm-hmm. There's like all different levels of, wow, humans are capable of so much, for good or for worse. Mm-hmm. And it makes me emotional, sad, and then it makes me angry to think, like, how the heck has this happened? And then it also makes me angry of, like, how the heck have I been so naive to not even know that those, to really fully grasp. We've been educated, right? But when you're educated younger and then as adult, for me, it, you know, it's great. We should have that education. So I'm not saying that. It's rewatching it as an adult. It made me feel disgusted. It made me feel frustrated. It made me feel angry, it made me feel like, you know, questioning, like I shared before, like how the heck, like, how did anyone think that that was right? And I think there was a part though in that documentary that it's like, then my husband and I were talking too, you know, we have to ask ourselves the same question today. What are the things that we're doing today that 20, 30, 40 years from now, our future generations are going to look back and say, I can't believe they let that happen. And that's what I think has to come into awareness today, is like, so that we can accelerate that change faster rather than being like, oh my gosh, that's so terrible. Okay, next Netflix show or whatever. And that is the stuff that for me, when I am consuming and being educated and watching and becoming more aware, that is what motivates me in the way that I show up to make change, to remind me that this isn't something that you can just let go. This is something that you have to constantly engage with in order to see change, and like vote and share and treat people differently as a way to like condition myself to know that like, we're not going back. There is no normal to what it was. Like, we cannot go back to what life was. And I don't want to go back, because this is an opportunity for us as a human kind thing, is to like, we can really make the world a better place. Like, we, if we can, then we must. And, and that's where, yeah, that's my response that I'll give you.
I'm glad that you said, yeah. And I could see you getting emotional, and it's emotional when I watch movies like that. It's emotional when I just see or hear about injustices that are happening, obviously, because I'm Black, I'm married to a Black man, I have a Black son, I have a Black father, you know, and so the likelihood of them being killed by police officers, it's possible, mm-hmm. you know, it's very possible, in fact, in the society that we live in right now. And I'm happy that you said, what can I do to keep the momentum going? Because I'll just be honest with you, one of the fears that a lot of Black people have right now, and I share this fear, is that this standing up and speaking out is just a trend. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months, when it becomes unpopular, or when we're quote unquote over it, it's just going to totally flatten out and die down. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be saying anything. Nobody's going to be doing anything. Nobody's going to be really taking action or shifting their perspective intentionally. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest fears that I have, is that everyone is talking right now because they feel the pressure to. But what is it going to look like a year from now? Where do you see yourself, Amanda, a year from now when it comes to this journey that you're describing of increasing your awareness and understanding? Where do you see yourself? Where do you see your business? I know that's also a loaded question.
No, this is what this is for. And I can watch you and you're saying it. It's like so profound. Like, you're looking up and I'm like, yes, this is so good. And this is not a question that was on our little outline that we created.
No,
and
I love these.
No, I love it. I know. And we don't, both of us don't like to be scripted. So Yeah, that, I love that question. And I think that if you're listening, like asking yourself, where do you see yourself in a year? Like, what are you going to be doing too? And I think, I mean, not to sound repetitive, but to see, you know, a very equally diverse podcast show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether that looks like if we go back to two episodes a week and one of them is going to be a solo cast. So yes, there's going to be white, because I'm white for the solo cast. And then, but then the guests that we bring on, like ensuring that there's equal diversity on that, ensuring that, same thing with our speakers and our team and diversifying that. But then also for me, you know, being asked to speak at events or MC, really challenging the organizers of their events, you know, what does their diversity look like, and start in challenging, and maybe challenging is not the right word, but like having accountability with those people, and even having accountability with my friends who are white, and making sure, like saying, what are you still doing? Not as a, look what I'm doing, this is, I'm better than you, but really from a challenge perspective, because like, if there's going to be change, and it's, I mean, we have to start it like yesterday, and it's also, I mean, there's things that I really hope that will look differently with our politics in a year. So there's that. Yeah, that for sure. Oh,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, sorry. I'm like, my brain sometimes goes in tangents, and I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was talking about how it was, Andrew Yang's podcast, and he was talking about inefficiencies, and him and Mark Cuban were just, you what?
I love Andrew Yang.
I know. He's so great. I mean, he's just so, I think he's likable. Now I might actually lose people if you're tuning in and you're like, I don't like Andrew Yang. Then I might be losing listeners now, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I mean, it's, yeah. And that's for me too, like, this is another tangent for Instagram and like social media. I've kind of kept my personal and then business separate for a couple, like some of those reasons, because I show a little personal and she did it her way. But if you go to my personal account, you're definitely like, you know who I'm pro and all mm-hmm. that. And it's not mm-hmm. like outrageous, but yeah, I just, so many things. That could be another podcast episode, but I'll stop there. So,
and you know, that might even be a good challenge, you know, for those who are listening on both of our podcasts, just as we set visions in the beginning of the year, you know, for what we want our business to look like, you know, our personal and professional development plans, what do you want your business and your life or your own consciousness to look like 6 months and a year from now? Mm-hmm. What do you see as a key milestone in you doing the work? What does success look like? I always ask people that when they're building a brand. Yeah. What does success look like a year from now when it comes to anti-racism in your business? I would challenge everybody to make a vision board and paint that picture so that you can hold yourself accountable to, as you said, Amanda, the action steps that you are now pledging to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and this is another thing that I thought about too, is I had gone to a diversity and inclusion training because I wanted to be educated. And I've worked in corporate America before, not long, but I have worked in corporate America. And it was Target, and Target was really great. I mean, even 8 years ago when I worked for it was a decade ago, which now I feel very, very mature. Let's just say that. Wow. Okay. They were very, like, at that time in 2010, they were very, you know, about diversity and inclusion. And even like, even though if you're a one solopreneur, and you don't have employees yet, it really made me realize that, okay, even if I have a small, mighty team, I can still have a vision for diversity and inclusion. It is
absolutely,
I am not absent, I think is, yeah, that one, absent from the other expectations and visions of other businesses having diversity and inclusion. And having that specific vision built into the overall vision is important to me at this point now. And I'm like grateful for, you know, like the newfound level of awareness, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, so.
And having it built into the core values of your company, you know, even if you are a solopreneur. When I think about my days in corporate America, diversity and inclusion were treated like a program. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a separate program. If you want to join in, or if you want to go to the trainings, if you want to go to their happy hours, feel free to go. Mm-hmm. But diversity or increased perspective was not a core value of the organization.
Yeah.
It was an initiative, a program brought on by pressure.
Check the box,
right? And so if anti-racism is the work that so many of us are committing to do, don't treat it like a program or mm-hmm. a separate initiative or an amendment to your mission statement. Treat it like one of your core values.
Yeah.
Because all business owners hold themselves accountable to their core values. All of the programs and products and everything they do within their organizations over the course of the year all have to be mapped back to one of those values. Mm-hmm. And so weave it into the values and the fabric of who you are as a leader mm-hmm. and what your business stands for. And I believe the work will keep going when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's a focus.
it's a focus.
Yeah. It's just not a one hit wonder. Sorry. That was not the right, like, I didn't mean it like that. I just, that's okay. Now I'm okay. I don't know.
No, but you're right. Yeah, I mean, a one hit wonder like is something that comes out and then it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on the radio for a little bit. And then, you know, a year later, you don't even know who sung the song.
Yeah.
So you're right. Don't treat it like that.
Well, why don't we go ahead and I actually did read the community question and you kind of answered that earlier about how to just like tune out all the noise and really center with yourself and ask yourself how you want to show up and not be influenced because of what other people are doing at that time. So Amber, I really appreciate like your openness and I'm super grateful to be able to have this conversation and for your heart and coming on here and, you know, giving your time and energy to unpack this conversation. I know you guys listening, we're kind of a little all over. We did have an outline, but just like, you know, conversations take a different form. This one did as well. You can follow, if you're not already following She Did It Her Way, you can follow She Did It Her Way at She Did It Her Way on Instagram. We have a Facebook group, Her Way Community, so you can connect with us over there. And Amber, where can my listeners and your listeners find you?
Absolutely. Well, Amanda, I just want to thank you for your heart as well and for having the intention and humility to sit down and have this conversation. Everyone's not doing this and we are, and I'm just so grateful for our relationship, strengthening our friendship through these candid conversations. I look forward to many more, hopefully. Yes. And for those listening, you can connect with me on Instagram at amberwilliams.co. Also, you can connect with me on Facebook at amberwilliams.co. And yeah, look forward to getting to know new people throughout this process. One of the things I'm super passionate about in this season is giving people the right words to express what they want to say right now. And so hope that I can continue to be of value there.
Absolutely. And to round us out too, just a little recap for you guys. One is you're a leader, whether you have zero followers or multiple followers, you're a leader for yourself. And the way that you influence others is by influencing yourself to become aware, to educate, and to make change. And doing the work is going to look different for everyone. So figure out what doing the work means for you and do that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we look forward to connecting with you guys.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.